month, a molecule found in bacteria could reveal new cancer drug targets. Researchers discover alarmingly low levels of public awareness about bowel cancer. Sunburn rife as men skimp on sunscreen. Scientists discover a new gene implicated in ovarian cancer. And we take a look at the front lines in the battle to control tobacco. Welcome to the Cancer Research UK podcast. I'm Angela Balakrishnan. Cancer Research UK scientists have purified a molecule from bacteria that could reveal new drug targets for inherited breast and ovarian cancers, and potentially other cancer types too. Dr. Julie Sharp, Senior Science Information Manager at Cancer Research UK, explains what impact this discovery could have on cancer treatment in the future.
Well, the scientists were interested in a protein called PARG. They know it's involved in DNA repair, and that's a very important process in cancer. But this protein is really difficult to study, so it is very large. So they used bacteria, which are easier to manipulate, and they have a smaller version of this protein, and that meant they could work out its 3D structure. And so now they can take this information and apply it to human cells. The next step will be to see if they can design drugs that will target PARG, and they think this might be particularly useful in cancers such as breast and ovarian cancer where there's a faulty BRCA gene. And this is similar to other types of drugs that are being investigated called PARP inhibitors. They think that these drugs might work in a similar way and be targeted towards specific cancers.
A Cancer Research UK funded study has revealed alarmingly low levels of public awareness about bowel cancer, despite the disease being the second biggest cause of cancer deaths in the UK. The researchers discovered that many people didn't know that lifestyle factors like diet, weight, and exercise affected the risk of bowel cancer. Dr. Emily Power, study author and health information manager at Cancer Research UK, tells us more about the findings.
We know that detecting bowel cancer earlier can really improve your chance of survival. So through our work on the National Awareness and Early Diagnosis Initiative, we're working with partners such as the Department of Health to try and raise awareness of symptoms of cancer and encourage people to visit their GP as early as possible. So it's important people are aware of the symptoms of bowel cancer that they could detect. And this includes things like any unusual change in their normal bowel habits, bleeding from their bottom, and blood in their stool or poo. As well as being aware of these symptoms, people can do some quite simple things, some changes to their normal lifestyle that can really help reduce their risk of bowel cancer. So things like trying to keep a healthy weight, eating a healthy diet that's low in red and processed meat, and high in fruit and vegetables.
Nearly 9 out of 10 British adults admit their skin has been sunburnt, with almost half experiencing pain as a result of being in the sun. A YouGov survey commissioned by Cancer Research UK showed that among men, fewer than a half used at least factor 15 sunscreen to protect their skin, compared to two-thirds of women. Men were also less likely than women to protect themselves in other ways, such as spending time in the shade or covering up with clothing. The survey showed that nearly all Brits are aware that getting sunburn increases the risk of skin cancer. Yet, for many reasons, people are still putting themselves at risk of skin cancer by getting sunburnt. Chris Lunn, Cancer Research UK's Sunspark campaign manager, talks us through the survey results.
This survey shows that there's a big gap between what people know and how they behave in the sun. And this highlights one of the challenges we face in halting the rise of melanoma rates. People know that getting sunburn can increase the risk of skin cancer, but many don't bother to protect their skin from burning. And the results of this survey suggest that men seem to be much worse than women. Over the last 25 years in Britain, rates of malignant melanoma, the most serious form of skin cancer, have risen faster than any of the most common cancers in males and females. And that's despite more women being diagnosed with melanoma, more men die from the disease. It's very important to remember that your skin doesn't have to be red raw, peeling or blistering to have sunburn damage. If your skin has gone red in the sun, it's sunburnt. The British weather causes a dilemma because we don't tend to get many sunny summer days. So when it does shine, people tend to overdo it. and they don't realise that you can burn even when it's cool or slightly cloudy. So whether at home or abroad, people should think how to use the shade, clothing and sunscreen applied generously and regularly to protect themselves.
Cancer Research UK scientists have found that women who carry a faulty copy of a gene called RAD51D have an almost 1 in 11 chance of developing ovarian cancer, one of the most significant cancer gene discoveries for more than a decade. Tests to identify those at highest risk are expected to be available within a few years, and may lead to some women deciding to take preventative steps, such as having their ovaries removed in order to beat the disease. The discovery should also speed the search for new drugs. Dr. Kat Arney, Science Information Manager at Cancer Research UK, explains the significance of this discovery.
This discovery is the culmination of an impressive piece of work in which researchers have looked in great detail at the genes of more than 900 families affected by many cases of ovarian cancer. Now, it turns out that carrying a fault in RAD51D means a woman is around 6 times more likely to develop ovarian cancer than someone in the general population. Fortunately, these RAD51D faults are relatively rare, and they account for around 50 or so of the 6,500 women diagnosed with ovarian cancer every year in the UK. But once tests are developed that can look for this faulty gene, it could be very important for families affected by multiple cases of this disease, as it opens the door to preventive measures that could save lives.
Researchers at the University of Stirling are fighting a request by Philip Morris International, the world's largest tobacco company, to see the university's raw data on smoking habits. Our reporter, Henry Scowcroft, investigates.
Under a Freedom of Information request, tobacco giant Philip Morris is trying to get hold of raw data from the University of Stirling's Institute for Social Marketing. The data come from a study funded by Cancer Research UK aimed at understanding why 85% of adult smokers started smoking when they were children, and is made up of thousands of interviews with children aged 11 to 16. The researchers were attempting to analyse the attitudes and behaviour towards cigarette marketing, packaging and shop displays. I'm sitting here with Professor Gerard Hastings from the University of Stirling and leader of the study. Gerard, why are you studying what people think about smoking, and what has your research found out?
I think it's really important to try and understand why it is that so many smokers start in childhood. Virtually no adults start smoking. And it doesn't make any sense. If somebody doesn't smoke, you wouldn't try and persuade them to start as an adult. But with kids, it does happen. So we need to get to understand, to try and cut off the flow of smokers before it starts. Because once people start, dependence on the nicotine makes it very difficult for them to stop in many instances. So we need to, if we can understand what the attractions are of tobacco, then we can inform policymakers and public health, medics and so on, about what sort of campaigns might be effective in just stemming that flow of new smokers into the marketplace. As to what those reasons are, why young people do start smoking, it's partly about it being a cool and alternative sort of noir thing to do. It's about preparing oneself for adulthood and, you know, a mistaken sense that smoking is somehow an indicator of being grown up. Above all, and underpinning all of these, is the efforts of a multinational tobacco industry who is absolutely desperately conscious of the fact that if they don't start young people smoking, they're out of business in a generation. Now, they will publicly deny that this is of any import to them, and they would publicly say that they do not want young people to smoke. But the brutal truth is that when 85% of your customers start in childhood, you can't gainsay that.
And why are they so keen to access your raw data? I mean, presumably you'll be publishing this in journals?
Of course. We're an academic research unit. There is tremendous pressure on us to publish for a start. Our university wants as many publications as possible, and the government has systems for counting how many publications you have. So absolutely, we have to do it. And there are very careful checks and balances about how that publication process takes place. Carefully researched and managed journals where all the articles in them are carefully peer-reviewed by experts in the field to ensure two vital things. One, one, that the data is accurate, that the, what we are concluding is justified by the evidence, the, if you like, the scientific check, but also to make sure that the people who have participated in the study are in no way harmed by the publication of the paper. So an ethical check as well. And it's vital those provisions are in place. And the great danger of an FOI from a tobacco company is it rises roughshod through those very careful protections.
And why, what do they want to do with this data? Why are they after it?
To be perfectly honest, I don't think they are after it. I don't think they anticipate ever getting their hands on this data. You know, I cannot contemplate the prospect of a court anywhere in the UK, least of all in Scotland, which has an enormously enlightened legal system. I can't imagine any adjudication coming down saying that the rights of a multinational tobacco corporation supersede the rights of a 13-year-old child. It's just not going to happen. I think this is principally about making our lives very difficult because we're researching things that they rather were not researched.
But presumably the tobacco companies would argue that this is publicly funded research and should be sort of available to the public.
Well, technically they would be wrong to argue that. It's not publicly funded, it's funded by a charity. And actually charities are not susceptible to freedom of information. The university has been FOI'd because it is a public body, but actually this data is collected by a charity. So the lawyers will keep themselves happy for several months on that one.
Just going back to a point you made briefly at the beginning, this research will help us inform campaigns aimed at changing policy. Just wanted to ask you briefly about the campaign for plain packaging for cigarettes. And we've recently seen when we've talked about this in public, for example, on our Facebook wall, people have said things like, but this isn't going to make me give up smoking. This wouldn't have helped my relatives give up smoking. Why are we campaigning for plain packaging for cigarettes?
I think it goes back to our earlier conversation that the vast majority of smokers start as children. We know, and there's ample evidence of this now, that tobacco marketing encourages them to take up the habit. And yeah, everybody denies that marketing has an impact on them. Who of us is going to admit that we bought something because of an advertisement? You feel a right twit doing so. But the reality is, you know, all this money that's spent on marketing is spent for good reason. It works. It encourages people to consume. And we know that tobacco marketing encourages kids to take up smoking. Packaging has become an increasingly prominent part of that marketing effort, not least because the other ones have been forbidden. So they're not allowed to use billboards or television or all the other means of communications they can. So the pack has come into remarkable prominence for the tobacco industry. In recent years, they've invested a great deal of money in redesign, both in terms of the colours and effects they use on the livery of the pack, but also in the physical design, so opening in novel ways, changing the shape so it looks like a perfume bottle or an MP3 player, you know, all sorts of things like that, which, you know, palpably intrigue and interest children. We have taken these packs into focus groups and you can see the kids' eyes light up. They can pick them up. As one 15-year-old said to our researchers, you know, smoking this silk cup pack, it makes me feel like a lady. You know, and that's absolutely cutting into why kids take up smoking, you know, to pretend to be adults. And the packaging is reinforcing that and helping them do it. And the tragedy is that the consequences of this is that one in two who don't succeed in quitting the habit end up being killed by it.
I'm now with Jean King, Cancer Research UK's Director of Tobacco Control. Jean, what do you make of all of this? And what will happen if tobacco companies get hold of the data?
Well, clearly it's very worrying if companies get hold of data about why young people start smoking. But more importantly, we think they're just trying to waste the time of researchers who are now, even now, looking into ways to try and help prevent children from smoking in the first place.
Why is it so important for Cancer Research UK to take a strong stand against tobacco companies taking action like this?
Well, we have to take a stand against tobacco companies because their product is the cause of more than a quarter of all cancer deaths. And these are all entirely preventable cancer deaths. And we know that the tobacco companies have misled their consumers about the harm and the addictiveness of the product. And we know that they have to recruit new smokers to replace those who are dying prematurely because of the product, using that product. Most smokers start as children. Most start under the age of 18. So the tobacco companies have a lot to answer for. And as an organisation dedicated to beating cancer, we have to take a stand against them.
And why is this happening now?
Well, I think we're now pursuing policies that are really starting to bite because, you know, you can gauge how effective a policy is going to be by how much opposition we get from the industry. And we fought a long, hard battle to get displays in shops covered up because we know that this was attractive to children and young people. And plain packaging is our next step in the trying to protect children from tobacco marketing. And so clearly this is worrying the tobacco companies, and they're trying to do whatever they can to obstruct us and prevent us from getting on with the job.
We'll be back next month with all the latest news and features. In the meantime, you can keep up to date by reading our Science Update blog. That's scienceblog.cancerresearchuk.org.